I think the most important aspect of living your life by design is that you are designed on purpose for the collective good. And so the more you're living authentically, the more your soul is here impacting the world in the way it was designed to. It could be in small ways, like maybe you don't want to be a big speaker or whatever, you know, like that I see for myself. But either way, like your cross is carrying itself out when you are living authentically. And so whatever that change is, big, small, meaty, like medium, it's you're living it out and you're impacting the collective for the health and wellness of everyone when you're actually living authentically.
Are you ready to discover who you came here to be? Welcome to the Human Design and Astro Club podcast. Human Design is a system and a tool that is here to empower you and show you your greatest potential. Come learn with us and discover who you really are. Hello, and welcome to the Human Design and Astro Club podcast. And this is an interview episode. It's been a while that we've done this, but here we are. And unfortunately, Leah's not able to join us for this one. I feel like you guys have realized that I'm really the interviewer at this point. So here we are. So I have a really exceptional guest. I'm very excited about this because we have been chatting for a while. I was also on her podcast. Definitely go check it out. We'll talk about that towards the end. But let's just go ahead and just introduce. Welcome, Adriana Keefe. And she is an intuitive human design coach and speaker. And I am ready to pick her brain about human design and business. That's what this episode is going to be all about. I really love watching people really incorporate human design into their business and like a lot of areas of life. Even like I've seen like now even psychologists or therapists use human design. And I think that there is something that really allows you to be your full self when you incorporate human design in aspects of your life. So welcome, Adriana, and introduce yourself. Let us know a little bit about you and we'll kind of kick off and see where things go.
Thank you so much for using the word exceptional, because I'm pretty sure on my gene keys that is in my personality sun. So thank you.
Accidentally on purpose.
I'm not as like, I don't use gene keys as much, but I definitely do use them and exceptional is definitely in there. So thank you for that, because you just lit me up in so many ways. Hello. I feel like you started with by being like, hello. So here we go. Hello. I'm Adriana. Like you said, intuitive human design coach and speaker. I'm a mom of three and a wife. I live in central Massachusetts, so it's freezing here right now and no snow, just freezing and cold. And I really use human design for the deeper stuff. Like, wait, do we swear on this podcast?
Yes, you can. Okay, yeah. Explicit.
Okay. Because I get really passionate when I talk about this kind of stuff. So I just wanted to make sure. I started with, well, actually, let's back up a little bit. I had a coach who introduced me to human design when I was going through what I call my quarter life crisis. And that was like the first time in my life where I felt accepted and validated, because most of my life I had just felt like a quitter. I couldn't stick with any one thing. And then my coach brings up this thing that wasn't a personality test, because I couldn't stand personality tests. I'm like, of course I got that answer. I just answered the questions that way. And I had always dabbled in astrology, but nothing crazy. And it pulled up that I was a manifesting generator, and I was literally supposed to be this multi-passionate, multi-hyphenate human. And I think for the first time in my life, literally like the first time in my life, I felt seen and heard and just so validated. I had a lot of abuse and trauma in my childhood and things that I had even reached out for help on, and it was very pushed under the rug. We don't talk about this. So that was like, when I say that was the first time I felt seen and heard, like, I mean that from like the deepest of my soul. And I just kind of dabbled in it for a little while. I started coaching around that time, but it was basic life coaching. And then over time I had another business coach who was like, you know a lot about this human design, because I would use it with my clients for very much the same way that my coach did with me, where, you know, that validation, that resonance. But I was so afraid to lead with it. Mm-hmm. Like, it's so in depth. It's intimidating, right? And so it's like, it feels scary to come out and say that you're a human design expert, because I'm like, oh my God, like even compared to you, I have 3 years under my belt and you have like at least 7. And so you have to really get comfortable with that open ajna being like, I don't know all the things, and that's okay. So over time, what kept happening was people kept coming to me in that mastermind cohort I was in and asking me how I was using my design business and if I could look at their chart and tell them. And I realized I knew 90% of the answers to the questions they were asking. So I bit the bullet and I eventually called myself a human design expert, at some point pivoting my entire podcast to being human design, spirituality, and everything has unlocked since then. Like everything, healing abuse, healing trauma, channeling spirit, intuition, all, it's like literally every time I click more into place every single day, everything shines brighter intuitively and magnetically and all of those pieces. So long story short, that's kind of how I started in the human design world.
Wow. Okay. Like I had like 5 million questions were just like flown at me while you were saying that. And I'm just like, okay. So you said you had a coach originally. So what was that? Were you doing, did you come into the space of wanting to be a coach of some sort, or, and what did you do before coaching? I'm so curious.
So when I went through this life crisis, I was pregnant with my second daughter and I was a realtor. I was a successful realtor, like winning numerous awards, making good money, supporting the family. And I had that deep, deep feeling of this is not me. This is like, you know, I have a bright red ombre in my hair and I've got tattoos and I've got piercings. At the time I had dermal piercings all over my chest and my back. And I felt like I had to hide all of that because it was a very stuffy world, that real estate world that I was in. And not to mention the amount of stress and anxiety, like up at late at night and not seeing my family because I worked night and weekends. And that was really hard for me because it was very much that feeling, you know, a lot of women, moms especially, get this calling that something's not fulfilled, but it's like, I have the job, I have the healthy kids, I have the house, I have the husband, who am I to ask for more? And at that point, I hired my first life coach and then I hired my second life coach and they all played a role. I've like met like so many mind shifts and stuff that I've learned with every single one of them. But the third life coach was when I started to unlock my sense of spirituality. I had taken up yoga as a part of this crisis. And that led me to opening that door. You know, everyone says like yoga saved my life. Like that literally saved my life on such a subconscious healing level, because as a child, I grew up in a house that was Christian Catholic. Never resonated with me. It felt like in my head, I was like, how is there a God like this if I'm being abused? And I don't understand. I don't see it. And so yoga helped me understand that there's this world of spirituality that doesn't have to mean religion. And so over time, started listening to more spiritual podcasts, understanding what I believed in and where I could see connections turning on. And I found this third life coach. She was actually a business and life coach, and she was holistic. So mind, body, spirit. And she unlocked everything. I mean, she introduced me to human design. She showed me, at the time I was in network marketing, which was like a side hustle to real estate. It was like my fun.
You're such a manifesting
freedom.
Generator.
Oh, I'm such a manifesting.
I just realized, can you just tell everybody your full design real quick? I usually do that at the beginning.
Yes. I'm a 4-6 emotional manifesting generator. And for any astrology friends out there, I'm a Taurus sun, Scorpio moon, Leo rising.
We usually do that as well. So thank you so much for just doing the next stage without me having to ask you.
You are welcome. Because I was in network marketing.
Yes.
That's right. So I was like, well, what if I took this business and replaced the real estate income? And so this holistic life coach, business coach was helping me do that. And then at some point she was like, do you recognize that the thing that you love most about this business is building the team, like being with the team, teaching them about energy, teaching them about mindset? And I was like, oh, you're right. And so I started coaching from every throwing spaghetti at the wall kind of way that we do when we're dabbling in coaching. Yeah. And then it was about a year and a half, maybe almost 2 years, until I actually started saying human design in public, like outside of
is really good. I feel like a lot of, and I would love to ask you this question. I feel like a lot of people get introduced to human design. Let's say they're a business coach, or let's say they're like, I want to dabble in entrepreneurship or whatever it is. They hear about human design and all of a sudden they're in 6 months, or less, sometimes even like, they're like, oh, I just learned this a month ago, and they incorporate it immediately into their business, or like they're a human design expert, which I, to be quite honest, I have a little bit of a hard time with that word expert, as human design is for me, is just an experiment that I'm just like, is anybody a freaking expert in life? My open-headed questions that I ask myself. But what do you think about that? People that kind of like take human design and just like all of a sudden they're an expert, or they immediately drive it into their business. What are your thoughts?
So to me, you're right. I say coach more than I say expert. I do have a lot of line ones in my design too, which is probably that shaky foundation-ish. I will say, like, if you're someone who's like a line three or even maybe a line six, who's teaching it from like a, this is how human design has like up-leveled me or helped me in this, then I could see that in an authentic way, like really just guiding them through your own experience. That's tricky, because I'm still like, a lot of the times I look at what I do and I'm like, God, I feel like I wish I were a projector to like really see my clients in that light. And then I forget how much I already know as a manifesting generator, but that's a difficult question, because I feel like in the first years, you're really just learning your own design. It's very difficult to add learning anyone else's. And I will say, I am a line six. So really the way that I have been teaching is through unpacking my own design, and the majority of people who come to me have similarities. I mean, that's not a coincidence.
You
right?
have a defined, like, G though.
I do. Yeah.
So I think there's something to that for people that, what I've noticed in the last 7 years that I've been in my experiment, and then the last like 3-ish years that I've been doing this professionally, is that people that have a defined G, they are going to attract likeness. It's about your identity. So you're going to attract people that identify with who you think you are, or who you actually are, both of those layers, and depending on the gates and channels that you have going on in your G center. Now, people that are open or undefined, I find that they actually attract a lot of times opposite ends of themselves, or places that they're actually here to be learning through that lovability factor of the G center, or where am I going? I feel like I like to say, as a defined G, and I'm actually also a vessel of love, so heavily defined G. This is, and like both my sacral channels actually run through the G center. So everything about me is heart oriented. I couldn't escape it even if I tried. I used to say when I was younger that I wanted to stop loving. And the joke's on me, because I'm a vessel of love. It's like literally impossible for me to stop loving. But what I found in business, especially, I'm always attracting, as a defined G, people that carry a lot of similarities as me. And I think that's something to incorporate in your business, is really looking at where you defined, because that's where your biggest strengths are going to be. Where are you open or undefined? Because that's how you're actually calling people to you. Mm-hmm. So you're calling people to you, and you're actually saying, I know maybe a different way, because it's so fluid, right? Your openness, you're like, you really sell through your open undefined centers. And it's like, I know a different way through this, but like, where people are going to lock in a lot of times is going to be through your definition. And I've noticed, as a defined G, I do attract a lot of manifestors for some reason.
I do too. Manifestors and manifesting generators. Yeah.
Yeah. there's some they and I ask manifestors a lot, especially them, because I'm like, what is it about me that I mean, I know
maybe
it's the sacral, I know
it's energy. Yeah. Sacral.
I know
energy,
it's the
yeah.
sacral juice. That's definitely a factor for the non-sacrals. But with the manifestors, I think it's that I really say all the things that they wish they could say or that they probably should be saying. And I give them the opportunity to have a voice. Mm-hmm. I think that's a huge part of my path is allowing people to really fully express themselves. I've always been the cheerleader of like the underdog. I have a hard time for my being a cheerleader for myself with having an open throat. I'm learning. That's probably my biggest learning is my open throat. That's where most of my trauma is. I actually, both of my Chirons actually are Chiron, are throat gates, the 16 and the 35. What would you say, now that I'm thinking about this, what would you say your biggest learning has been with your design?
Fucking waiting to respond. Like, well, that's what was coming up for me as you were talking about all of this. Like, I don't want anyone who's listening to this thing to think that we're shaming them for like starting to use human design. I will say when I first started out, I was listening to, you know, I was deep diving into all the podcasts of all the human design people. There was this one specific person who just felt like she was constantly shaming newbies of like, how dare you teach this and whatever. And that is not at all what we're doing. What I was going to say before you even asked me was when, and if it is your time to teach this and bring it into your work, like any part of your life, you're going to have that sign. Every single one of us are designed to wait to an extent. Yeah. And you will, like, it'll click into place on purpose and you don't have to force it. So if it's something that, like, take my story, for example, I was like, nope, nope, nope. And then the universe bombarded me. It was in like a single month. It was the month of June, a year and a half ago. And that's
I'll never forget.
The universe, I will never forget. And the universe was like, no, 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 bitch, like pick this up. This is what you're going to start doing. And so that waiting to respond, it was easier in that moment because I was so afraid of being the human design person. But every other day of my life, it's so hard, especially with that manifestor energy, to know when is the right time to make a move and when is the right time to sit back. I have so much energy to give. But what that's done for me traditionally in the first 30 something years of my life was just exhausted me and left me without the results that I had hoped for because I wasn't responding to anything in particular. I was just doing just to do and just to take other people's what they like, you know, other coaches, and they all mean well. They teach their strategy. They mean well, but they can't, we don't all do
personalize
things the same
it.
Way.
You can't personalize
and
it.
So you can't take some other coach's strategy and expect it to work for you, which I learned the hard way over and over and over again. That's why I literally started teaching this by design. But that's definitely been my hardest. Every day, it happened this morning, actually. Every day is an active, conscious decision in, okay, stop, wait to respond. Like this morning, I was listening to a podcast episode on my friend's podcast with, for some reason, Hollywood keeps coming into my orbit. And I don't know why. I'm just being curious about it. And so this one was with a Hollywood actress. And I was like, oh my God, she would be so fun to have on the podcast. But I was like, you know what? I'm just going to sit back. And if this is something I can initiate on, I know I'm going to have something to respond to. Well, who texts me literally an hour later? My friend who did that podcast episode. So I'm like, okay, so now I have something to respond to. I was like, I was just listening to your episode. Yes. I'd love to be connected. But that's been so freaking hard, Crystal. Like, so
well,
hard.
Well, I think, okay. This is a good point. This is a good point to bring up and the distinct difference between a manifesting generator and a pure generator such as myself is that, what? Okay, and also the similarity. The similarity is that no matter what, when it comes to a sacral being, whether you're a manifesting generator or a generator, response has to come first. Mm-hmm. Everything is going to start out in life, especially for, I feel like, sacral beings, because we have so much creative spark, right? Mm-hmm. That lives inside our being, that life force. So there's so many things to really that we're constantly responding to. And everything oftentimes starts out at a seed level, a little thought pops into your brain and you're like, oh, And so something that I've learned to say to myself and I give to a lot of my clients is, wouldn't it be nice? Wouldn't it be nice if I could get this person on my podcast or somebody like this person on my podcast or better? Wouldn't it be nice? Because then that allows for that little thought to become almost like generated through the sacral, allow the passion to be ignited.
The vision.
And, yeah, the vision. And then, but the thing is with the manifesting generator, and this is where I used to be, and I still am, but I've learned to love myself in the way that I operate, is I used to be in such awe of you guys. Most of my friends from my childhood experience have been manifesting generators. And so I used to, my entire life, try to keep up with you guys. And like all these like thoughts that are like, they're like little passion desires that live inside, but it's about timing, right? It's all about timing. Yep. For me, I have to go through everything single step. For a manifesting generator such as yourself, you just gave a beautiful example. It could be a thought, and in 10 minutes, the response occurs in your environment to finally respond to. For me, it could take years. And I used to get so frustrated watching manifesting generators and manifestors just be able to pull shit out of thin air. And I'm over here like, okay, we'll get there. We'll get there. I'm in it for the long haul. But for you guys, it can't just be like, oh, I have that thought. Let me go initiate and text my friend, ask them for their number, or go wherever and find this person and message them. No, you knew that you have to wait. There has to be a waiting period for sacral beings. For a manifesting generator, they just might not have to go through every single one of those steps where you have to go, then you have to wait, and then maybe another little breadcrumb drops in, like that person shows up maybe on another podcast, or like you find their social media accidentally or something like that to respond to. Like, you have to go through each step as a pure generator. Where a manifesting generator, it can be a thought that immediately drops into a desire, and then it shows up in your environment to immediately respond to, because you're ready. Like you just have that accelerated mechanism with the throat, the motor to the throat, that allows it to happen sometimes instantaneously.
So, I mean, this is a perfect example of what I said earlier, where there's so many times where I wish I were a projector, because like we're going to look down on parts of ourselves all the time. And it's about learning to love who we are and accept who we are. Like, I have two friends who run a business together, and one's a manager and one's a projector. And I had them on the podcast, and they talked all about how human design like saved their working partnership. Mm-hmm. But one of the things that always stood out to me was she said for her projector like colleague, if she had it her way, it would have been a slow, steady buildup, but very successful. And every client would be so loved. And I'm currently trying to reframe the beliefs I have around like, I wish I could just have slowed down and done this the quote right way, instead of being all over the place and doing a million things. And now I'm
having to backpedal.
I have on my plate, right, and backpedal. And I feel like we all go through those moments of wishing things were different within ourselves, but it's all about loving those pieces of ourselves. And I have a question I'm going to throw back at you.
Okay.
Share as much or as little as you want, but when you're talking about how the universe, God source gives, I'm very interested in the pattern that you see with many gens getting things to respond to quicker than generators, because I go through phases. It's like cycles, maybe like a manifester. And when I'm doing the deeper subconscious work more often, when I'm actively healing, I'm a lot more magnetic and those things happen like that. Mm-hmm. But when I'm not, when I'm like, you know, over the summer, I was diagnosed with functional burnout and I was really pushing myself too hard and doing too much. Things weren't happening as quickly to respond to. So I'm just curious about that magnetism piece. And if it has a little bit to do with subconscious and healing, because that's, I mean, listen, this is my Scorpio moon. This is literally what I do. And I can't help but think that way. So I don't know. Is there anything you wanted to share on that?
I think it definitely comes back to beliefs. I think everything at its core is a story that we've either made up, was told to us, or that happened to us. And sometimes those stories are not true. Or sometimes what I've learned to realize is that just because it is true doesn't mean it has to be true forever. It really comes down to, I think for any of the types, comes down to our belief system, and the way that our signature will then show up. I've just found, and I've learned, I think the thing when it comes to being a generator, and this is something that I'm sure you've heard a lot through us, is that things don't just happen instantaneously, and the frustration of that, when is this going to happen? Especially with, I think, open throats, the process can be even a little bit longer. I've recognized through clients that have been, I don't know how many charts I've read for at this month, at this point, not month. It's been probably over 1,000, because I am just so passionate about the system and really helping as many people as possible. But I've noticed for open throats is that we get really hung up on, when is this going to happen? When is this going to happen? When I have no idea how to even create this. And so I've learned, and I'm still learning, I think it's going to be a forever learning. Wherever you're open is a forever learning. It's like you're not just going to, healing is, you know, a spiral, right? And so I think that I've learned that it's okay if it's not now. It doesn't mean that it'll never happen. And it comes back to the work that you do. I think what people get hung up with human design is that they get all this information, but they don't actually then experiment or integrate it into their system. You can't just like find out, oh, I'm a generator. Okay, I'm here to respond. Okay, I'm going to wait. I'm going to keep waiting and it's just going to show up. No, you have to do the work. I actually just watched one of my clients this last year. She found me about a year ago. She's also a 1-3 sacral generator. She has an undefined throat. She's also a Sagittarius sun. We have a lot of similarities. She's probably listening to this podcast. Hello. But she literally took the fuck off at the end of this year. She literally, like, and you're also desire motivation, right? Your desire motivation.
I think I was. Yeah, because you were, sure. Right? So same.
That's why you keep talking about that calling. And I want to talk about that. Mm-hmm. I want to go there next, but let me just finish this sentence. Okay. I watched her take every single thing that I offered this last year. Especially our variable intensive. She actually sent me a message right before we started. And she said to me, I don't know why, but I know that I don't have the information that I need yet, but I know that you're going to provide it for me. And then once you do, everything is going to just happen. And literally everything has blown up. She now has the relationship she always wanted. Her career has, I mean, talk about like when the student overpasses the teacher. I was like, she's her entire business in every facet, in person, online, just blowing the fuck up. And I'm just like, you are a testament to getting the information. She's also a 1-3 like me, getting the information and then applying it. You can't just get this information and then expect everything's gonna happen now. Okay, waiting. I'm waiting. Just okay, let me just, palms are open. Okay, go ahead. Ready to receive. No, you have to do the work. You have to do it. Sorry, long tangent with my open throat.
No, I would agree with that. I did an entire podcast episode on that like 3 weeks ago. It was actually probably why I got someone giving me a 1-star review, because it was after that episode where I was very passionately saying the two mistakes I see in human design are, one, teachers not teaching how and what to do next, and two, you not doing anything with that information. Like, if you're investing your time and money and energy into understanding your human design, do something with it. Like, yeah, you did,
if you don't know what to do, find somebody that does. Mm-hmm. Like, and I think that's the other layers. People are just looking for a quick fix, free information, and don't realize that you really have to invest in yourself. Like, who do you relate to? Who do you feel like, if you're a generator, who do you feel response towards? If you are a projector, who do you feel recognized by just from the way that they're speaking? If you're a manifester, who is making an impact on you that can help you make an impact on yourself? If you're a reflector, who are you surprised and delighted by that you want to be, help other people feel surprised and delighted by? Like, people don't realize that, like, you actually have to like take some sort of aligned action towards whatever your design is. That is that, that's a huge thing. Now, I realized you're that I'm like, oh yeah, we're both desire and motivation. You said at the beginning of this that you were called. You're like, there's, and there was something about, we were talking about like with human incorporating human design in your business, and you'll know when you're called. I don't know if that's, I mean, I'm sure the other motivations feel this in some layer, but there's an intensity. There's an intensity to desire people that we are literally called to do what we are here to do, because it's the desire to lead. We are here to be leaders, which when I saw that, I threw up in my mouth. And like, even like numerology tells me I'm supposed to be in, like every aspect of whatever modality is always like, you're here to be a leader. I'm like, what? I'm like, why in the world would I sign up for that? And why would I do that right now when the world is just like gone to fucking shit?
I know.
You know? But can you,
I will say, I have learned, this is something I'm very consciously aware of, that I don't want to say upper hand, because there's a shadow to everything, but I had learned over time that not everyone sees that vision for themselves, and people have to actively work to understand what they want in life. I have an upper hand because I have my Defiant G Center, gate 8, the gate of contribution is in my personality sun. And so that vision I always saw for myself of speaking on stages and being recognized for something that's massively impactful, that was literally ingrained in me since the day I was born. So I've learned over time that like some of my clients would come to me being like, dude, I literally cannot see a future. I don't know how to visualize it. I don't know anything. And so this is where over time I started incorporating somatic exercises into what I do. Like from my many years of recognizing talk therapy did shit for me and learning that I had to do somatic things to release trauma from my body. Now we do tapping.
Especially with being an emotional.
Yes. Yes. Ooh, I never put that together.
Yeah.
Good point. Yeah. I do tapping with my clients now. Like, this is how we move the energy through and out of our body and how we up level, get to the next version of you. And so in tapping, sometimes you'll literally start tapping by saying like, I don't know how many people listening are familiar with emotional freedom technique. Mm-hmm. It's all over YouTube if you're interested, but like moving the energy through your body to let go of that lack of vision, lack of identity, feeling like any feeling that you have connected to that, because there's something, there's like shame, there's judgment of like, why don't I see a future for myself? Am I not ambitious enough? And the more that you start to move through that energy and click on through your strategy and your authority, the more the pieces just build together and you kind of have all that click into place over time. But one of the hardest parts for me was understanding how to help them at first if they didn't see that vision, because that is just so ingrained in
belief.
Me. Like, wait, you don't see that? Even my husband, wide open G, has like, you ask him today what his future looks like, he's like, I don't know, I'm just kind of rolling with it. I'm like,
but they are. I didn't know that. Like it really took me time. And my mom has an undefined G center, and she's actually a Sphinx. She's the right angle cross of the Sphinx, which is Sphinx and Vessel of Loves have this like deep understanding of identity in some way and direction. For her, it's more direction. For me, it's the lovability of self is what I'm here to evolve to. But I've really watched with the open undefined G's where they don't feel that pull. They don't feel that pull. Like I feel when I'm thrown off my vehicle's like thrown off my fractal. Like I actually to get weird. I wanted to say not to get weird, but to get weird. You guys know I'm fucking weird. to get weird. I actually see sacred geometry everywhere. I can close my eyes and I can see all of the lines that run through everything. And I've really learned that undefined G's, they don't like to that little string that's like pulling you. Like people think that we know where we're going. It's not that we know where we're going as defined G's. It's that we trust it. We actually trust that we know that we're going the right direction, even the times that we don't know. Like after I got hit by a car on my bike in 2010. I don't know if I told you that, not to just like throw it out there. I'm sorry. I didn't mean to be traumatic.
But well, what's interesting is I'm sitting here thinking I also got hit by a car and I think it was around 2010. So that's fucking weird.
Okay. That's a conversation for another time, I guess. But yeah, so it was after and it was because I was going the wrong way. I was going the wrong way and I had to get thrown. I had to get pushed back on my path. And it was during that time I was doing hair and makeup professionally. It was getting kind of painful. And I decided to take what I called my spiritual pause, not knowing that I was going to apply to the Kabbalah Center. And I ended up working there for 3.5 years. And every day that I would step in there into that building, I would say, I have no fucking clue what the fuck I'm doing here. And why I'm supposed to be here, but I know that I am. That's all I know. And I think that's the thing with the Defying G is that, and maybe people that have more direction gates, I only have one. I only have gate 13 in my conscious Jupiter, kind of an important place, but I only know where I'm going when I'm listening is kind of the thing. But I don't have any of the other direction gates, and maybe people that have more, maybe they see something different, but I think that we don't really know where we're going. I don't know if we all knew where we were going in life, then it would take the entire fun out of what it means to be human. Hi there. We wanted to share with you more ways to connect with us and our free and paid resources and offers that will help you elevate your life and begin to tap into your fullest potential to live out your dreams. First up, we have created a free tips and tricks to understanding your strategy and authority and a free crash course on the transits that you can find in our beginner's path on our website in the show notes down below. And if you're ready to get a deeper understanding of the human design language and how to apply this to your very own chart, check out our user manual to your true self. And if you've been studying human design for a while and ready to lift up the hood of your vehicle and take a peek inside to better understand your process, we have created a mini variables class on the 4 radical transformations. Now, we do not have view or motivation available to purchase, but we have recently developed a kick-ass variable intensive called the Color Code Variable Intensive. That is a 5-week journey through the Radical 4 transformations. And because our last round went so well that I can't even put into words, I can't even describe, but we are doing it again this fall. So please make sure you are subscribed to our email list because early bird enrollment is about to be made available. And lastly, if you are interested in one-on-ones with me, Crystal, then check out my readings on our website down below to snag one of my reading spots or email us the word waitlist to be added to the next available openings as I get booked up very quickly. And everything else that you might be interested in, you can find on our website, humandesignastro.com. And don't forget to check out our YouTube channel for some prime education. Now let's go listen to the rest of this captivating episode. So what are your
thoughts? I agree with that because it's like, I understand that I'm here to speak and I'm here to impact on a high level, and speaking on stage is literally something that like lights my soul on fire. So I know that, yes, but the how, I don't know. Like astrologically speaking, my astrologer said that this coming summer, something's going to blow up career-wise and it's not going to be what I think. And so I'm just like going through, just swimming through the waters and doing what lights me up and what I feel guided to do, but always remaining open to whatever the universe throws at me, because I know I'm here. Essentially, my design is very much saying that I'm here to help pull us through the 2027 awakening, whatever you want to call it. And so I'm just kind of like, yep, universe, you know better than I do.
I think that's every desire person. Oh my gosh. Okay. Hold on a second. Hold on. I'm gonna try not to like fuck this up, but That is exactly what every desire person is here to do right now. We are literally, we could have a whole other conversation about this maybe another time, but we are here to usher people into this new way. That is what, I mean, as I said, we're here to be leaders, and leaders are, we're change makers. That's mm-hmm. what we see change. Like that saying, be the change you wish to see in this world. We are here to one, embody that, and then provide the direction, because what we see are solutions. It's a third color. Okay. It's all connected to success, how to live a successful life into the future. Okay. Now I see myself, and you can tell me if you see something similar. I had this this vision when I was called to come online and just start sharing human design. I had no idea what I was going to do after that. I just knew the first step as a generator, right? I'm called. You got to go online. You got to just start spreading human design and see. And then like everybody started that I needed to help me along the way came to me and helped me get to the each next step. And so the vision that I had when I first saw this was almost like the Titanic. Okay, if we can remember back to the Titanic movie, not trying. And I want you to know that 2027, and you guys should know this if you've been here for a while, that when I do talk about 2027, it is not doomsday. It's only anything is whatever you want it to be. If you understand where we're going and how to get to like that next stage of humanity that we're heading towards, as long as you have your tools and your design set up, you will be successful. And that's why desire people are here. So just because I said Titanic, don't freak out, okay? Nobody.
We have the lifeboats.
Yeah. That's what I was about to say. Oh. And this is why I said this. There's no doomsday here. I am not here to invoke fear. Even though I do have a defined spleen, I like most people know that I'm doing this in a loving way, sometimes a little harsh. I have a defined heart. Okay. But, you know, anyways, so the Titanic, back to the Titanic. I had this vision, the Titanic, meaning that things had to crumble. Things have to go down. Okay. In order for change to come. So I saw the Titanic and then I saw, the dock. Okay. And then all the life rafts that were lined up, and that I was there on the dock ushering all the people that were like, as the Titanic's going down, get the fuck in the raft, get in the raft. This is the way to safety. And that's what I'm trying to do. I'm trying to lead people towards safety. I'm like, get the fuck in the raft. Okay. This is the direction we're supposed to go for you to survive and for you to thrive. Get the fuck in the raft. And that's what I saw. And I was like, okay. And my guys were like, you better get the fuck online and start sharing this information. I was like, okay. Seems like a big burden to handle here, but that's the vision that I had. Do you have a similar vision?
Well, what's so crazy about that, and it actually didn't just click until halfway through. I didn't even think of this until when you first said it. I have always, since I was a kid, felt so deeply connected to the Titanic that my mom bought the movie before I was even of the age. Like, she would fast forward through the sex scene.
Yeah.
And like, she would take me to like the Titanic, like there was like a museum set up at like, I think it was the Science Museum or something. And I've always wondered if I died in the Titanic in a past life. However, that's never come through in a reading. And so I've always wondered what my thing is with the Titanic. And now I'm curious, every time you talk to a desire person, you need to ask them how they feel.
Okay. And now I am. Yeah. And I do connect to a lot of desire people. I feel like we all see like obviously we're filtering through a different design for each of us, because we're unique. But we have the same vision, because motivation is connected to your mind. Okay. It's the last step on the personality side. You guys have heard me talk about this, or if you're new here, hi, welcome. This is the first episode you're catching us on. But motivation is the way you conceptualize the world around you. After you see it through your view, then you're able to process, conceptualize, and be able to then be the outer authority for somebody else. That's what motivation is truly about. It's not about you, the way you're motivated. I feel like, and when people say stuff like that, I'm like, please get some source information. And I, you know, I'm a 1-3, you're a 4-6. So I'm a stickler for the foundation, and also being a pure generator following steps. And again, as we talked about at the beginning, and I even said this on our last episode where I told people, like, not the best idea to just start putting this in your business immediately if you haven't integrated it for yourself yet, because that's the biggest step, I think, of human design is the experimentation, because that's all it is. Mm-hmm. So I am a stickler for that. But again, don't fucking listen to me. Okay. Be your own fucking authority. If you're like, fuck you, Crystal. Okay. I'll do what the fuck I want. You're probably a manifester. That's fine. Go find out. But I'll tell you, by the time you get towards, you know, year three, year six, year seven, you'll be like, oh, I think I understand what she mm-hmm. meant by that. And this isn't to shame you. It's just for you to understand, in order to truly help people, it has to be integrated for you first. That's all. That's all I'm saying. So yeah. I know we only have a little bit of time left. And like, we kind of went to a lot of places, which is just kind of what happens with me. So hopefully you guys, there's a lot of juice here. So you guys probably caught a lot of juice, or you're probably not as thirsty as you were at the beginning of this episode. But how have you incorporated human design into your business? And what would you tell someone would be the first thing they should do if they were to do it themselves as well from your design?
It's funny, that online course that I have for designing and marketing your business, I put it on hold. It last spring was my last round. And I was just like, I'm tired. I don't have the energy. You know, I had functional burnout, turned out, and now so many people are asking me about it again that I'm just like, I feel like this is the universe being like, hey, bring that back. What I first did was, of course, the basics, like, cause I am a mani gen and I get overwhelmed. If you give me an instruction manual, I will fucking not look at it. And I will just go and try and do it myself.
Don't tell me what to do.
Exactly. So I started just with like learning emotional authority, learning, responding and practicing patience. Gate 20 shows up pretty prominently in my chart and like the presence of now. So that was really how it started for me. And then along that path is actually where I recognized how crucial it was for me to feel spiritually connected to something bigger than myself. Because how can you really stay in the trust process with responding if you don't have anything to trust in? Mm-hmm. And as a developing spiritual person, it was like, I believe in this, but subconsciously my body was like, still agnostic, really. And so I really had to build that trust muscle with asking the universe for signs. And I still do that now all the time, yeah. By the way. I still ask for signs and synchronicities and stuff. But that was like the foundation for me, was trusting in what I believed in most. And then over time, really diving into profile. My course is heavy on energetic, type and aura and profile. Because that's like really how we show up each and every day. And that 4-6 actually did not resonate with, well, the 4 didn't, the 6 probably did, because of my own childhood stuff. And so I had to really hone in on that and like learn, why do I feel so disconnected from people? Why do I feel like I'm the last person who would be successful networking? And it was all my own trauma. It was constantly being told I was too much. I was diagnosed with ADHD. Sit down, be quiet. You're so loud. Your laugh is obnoxious. Like all of that was my own shit. When I worked through that, I would show up at like networking events. I could probably literally only do networking events and be like extremely successful, because that's just the way I'm designed. And so I leaned into networking, and I leaned into really harnessing the fact that people looked up to me, because I never saw that in myself until people started telling me. They were always reaching out, asking me what podcasts I was listening to, what books I was reading. How did I navigate that quarter life crisis? Like
influential fourth line.
Oh yeah. Like everything. And a lot of questions about my abuse and my trauma. And so I was like, holy shit, I really am line 6. Like I am a role model to people. So those were the top steps that I took. It was all like that aura, strategy, authority, and then my profile. Because then everything else, like it was trimming the fat off my business. It was trimming the throwing spaghetti at the wall. I didn't need to be showing up in Facebook groups constantly or on social media constantly. I actually cut out social media over the summer and strictly podcast. Exception, like I will show up in Instagram stories and stuff because I still like that community feeling.
Right.
But after I did that, business exploded even more. And it was like, yeah, you're trimming the fat. You're letting go of things that are holding you back and only putting your energy and your love into the things that you're designed to do. Mm-hmm. And it, I don't want to say it's easy, but it can be that simple, you know, but it is a difficult decision to make. Like when I posted that I was not going to be posting content on Instagram, I was like, do I really want to do this? Is my business going to suffer? And again, I had to just trust. I had to trust that my energy, my sacral was like not in creative mode for it. And I was like, why am I posting things based on like drafts or templates or things that other people say work? And then I'm getting maybe a few likes and I'm just like, this isn't right. And so I just went strictly podcast and networking.
Wow. Okay. I feel like we could probably talk for like 5 hours, but I think there was a lot of juice and nuggets and wisdom and everything you just said. But I think the biggest thing for the sake, especially, I guess this is probably, I feel like this is a very sacral being episode, not to say the other types can't get something out of this, but I think the biggest thing that sacral beings get hung up on is the trust of the sacral.
Mm-hmm.
We do not trust that our creative spark is actually going to pull everything we desire to us, because the sacral is a magnet. We've never been taught how to trust that sacral muscle and realize that you don't have to be doing everything because you can. I think that's the biggest thing that I had to learn. And I'm still forever learning. I think we'll be learning that because I'm mostly fire in my astrology. So I have 5 planets in Sagittarius, including my sun.
Hey.
So I'm a defined heart, defined dream, and sacral. So I really have a lot of fire and passion and a lot of creativity to bring into this world. But we do not have to be doing everything. We have to be doing what we desire and trust that if we eliminate, like how you, I love how you talked about, oh, I'm not really on Instagram anymore. And that's something that I've been slowly as a generator coming to grips with, because I feel like social media is really changing right now. Like we're going through a transformation process with social media. And I think people are realizing that, oh, I don't actually have to be here to have a successful business. Mm-hmm. So thank you for being a testament to that. But I think that we really need to ask ourselves as sacral beings, what do I have the energy supply to do? That this is a great list that I've been, and I'm going to be doing it again at the beginning of this year. And maybe we can do an episode on this, but what do I have the energy supply to do? And what is actually taking my energy? What is stealing my joy?
Yes.
What is stealing that sacral joy? Even if the mind says, oh, but strategy says you still have to be on Instagram or Facebook or wherever that platform that your mind tells you that is the only way that you're going to be able to have a successful business or whatever it is. It's not true. These are, again, back, I feel like a big thing that we're learning through this episode is it's the stories and the beliefs that we were told had to be true for whatever it is, the conditioning, right? And it's really about allowing yourself to say, hey, I can go another way. Desire. Mm-hmm. There's another way. There's another way to do this. Oh, I just got the chills when I said that.
And to know that, like, it's never an end all be all. Like, take my core online course, for example. Like, I said I didn't want to live launch it anymore after that last spring because it took a lot out of me. Mm-hmm. And every month I was like, do I want to make this evergreen? I would check in on it. It's literally like doing an energy audit monthly. I check in on my
emotional. Oh, I love that.
Yeah, and emotional. Yep. And that's what it feels like for me. I'll feel either emotionally tired thinking about the act of doing it, or I'll be like, I've got the energy for this. Like, I feel like I could do it right now. And I never ended up putting on evergreen due to time constraints. And it actually worked out for me because now when I think about launching it again, I don't feel tired. I feel like, oh my God, I could totally launch it again this spring or this late winter, whatever. And so you don't like, it's never a closed shut. You walk away forever. It's like, especially if you're a business owner, do whatever the fuck you want. Like if I want to show up on social media again, I will. And if I don't, I won't. And so you can listen to the energy that your body's telling you. And God, I'm so glad that I knew that because if I kept live launching that program, I can't even imagine how much more exhausted I would be. Not to mention, I wouldn't be reaching the amount of people. I probably wouldn't be hitting my goals because I just wouldn't have the energy for it. And my frequency would be lower. So I'm not calling in things on a magnetic level. But now I'm like, I kind of want to launch it again. So I probably will.
Wow. Wow. Yeah. I feel like this has one opened my eyes. So I already know that it's everyone that's listening to this right now, you're feeling something similar. That I think the biggest thing out of this episode is to get that you, if you, let's say you're an entrepreneur, you're thinking about being an entrepreneur, whatever it is, or even just like in your career, if like, let's say you have a career or just life, you do not have to go one path. There is not one path that you have to go. All you have to do is be you. When you're yourself and yourself, if let's say you're like an undefined G, I feel like this episode was very G-centered defined totally. For whatever reason. But if you're an open or undefined G, know that you get to be as many characters as you want to be this life. You can burn shit. I watch a lot of open undefined G's just like burn entire identities that would take me probably years down in like 5 seconds. You are whatever you want to be. You are allowed to create the reality that you wish to see and allow yourself to expand. You don't have to stay stuck in one box. That's why I love the manifesting generators. You guys have really taught me as a pure generator, oh, maybe there's a different way. Maybe there is a different way I can go. Maybe this is something that I don't love anymore. Like as a sacral being asking, do I have the energy supply to do blank? I ask myself that all the time. Yeah. And I've been trimming the fat this last year too with my business now that I have a clearer vision on where I'm going. And I know 2024, a lot more stuff is going to be cut out as well. And allowing myself to evolve and not stay stuck in one size fits all box that, you know, society has told us we have to be.
Amen to that. That's literally at the foundation of everything that I've ever done is basically like an FU to society and be a rebel.
I feel like that's the most emotional manifesting generator. It's like part of your role is to kind of poke people. Yeah. What is your emotional channel again?
The 3955 and the 4130.
Okay. I knew I was like
that pressure.
Does she have that channel of provocation? I'm like, she's you, cause what I've noticed and I actually recently just did an in-person expo where I had a lot of people that had the 3955 and I was like, do you know that you just poke people? Just like they're like, yes. And I'm like, you're not doing it necessarily on purpose. It's just an innate quality that you carry that you were just boop. I call it like I call the 39 the hot poker.
It's a hot poker.
Because I feel every now and then again, I feel this little pressure from you. I have an undefined root and a completely open solar plexus. So every now and then, and my mom carries this channel as well. She also has the 40. You said you have the 4130 also?
Yes. Yeah.
That's why you're a dreamer. Yeah. No, I have the 41 though. So I watch people with both of these channels. Like you provide people an opportunity to allow themselves to bring their dreams into a reality. I actually just created a whole framework around this. We won't get into that now, but if you could leave our listeners with one message on what it means to be you and your design and what they can do for themselves, what would that be?
I think the most important aspect of living your life by design is that you are designed on purpose for the collective good. And so the more you're living authentically, the more your soul is here impacting the world in the way it was designed to. It could be in small ways, like maybe you don't want to be a big speaker or whatever, you know, like that I see for myself. But either way, like your cross is carrying itself out when you are living authentically. And so whatever that change is, big, small, medium, it's you're living it out and you're impacting the collective for the health and wellness of everyone when you're actually living authentically. And I think that's the bigger piece that we all get, we just forget because it's like, but me, 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 and I want, and I want, and we forget there's a big, big purpose to all of this.
Yeah. And like the underlying theme that we are just fragments of the whole. I am you and you are me. Just because you see somebody different than you, that's the illusion. That's the illusion of separateness that we have been, you know, placed upon with being in these human vehicles. But the truth is that we are all the same. Just our path might be slightly different than somebody else's.
Through that.
Well, thank you so much for being here. Can you let everybody know how they can find you? Because I know they're going to want to connect with you after this.
Yeah. So, I mean, you can follow me on Instagram. I do communicate there every day. I just don't post tons of content. And that's Adri Keefe, A-D-R-I. My website, adriannakeefe.com. And then my podcast is where I always am every week and sometimes more. That's called the No BS Human Design Podcast.
Wonderful. And I also did an episode over there on environment. I know you guys know that I'm, you know, deep into the variables. So if you want to go,
you're my environment go-to.
If you want to learn about that, go check out Adriana's podcast. And thank you so much for being here. Really,
thank you for having me.
It's a light.
Thank you.
Right. And we'll see you guys over on the next one. Bye.
Bye.
Thank you for tuning into today's episode of our podcast on the Human Design and Astro Club. We hope you have found the information insightful and useful. If you enjoyed the show, please consider leaving us a review and sharing it with your friends and family. We love to hear from our listeners, so feel free to reach out to us with any feedback, questions, or suggestions for future episodes. Until next time, thanks for listening, and we'll see you on the next one.